The Lord Jesus came on the scene over 2,000 years ago to cause us to fulfill the law. He came on the scene to give us entrance into God's kingdom. Without a fulfillment of the laws of God, there is no way any man can find favor with God. You see it, and the children of Israel of old had the laws. They had the laws and the letters. And in reality, they never truly reaped the benefits of fulfilling those laws. When you read the blessings of obedience towards the laws, no one was supposed to be sick among the Israelites. No one was supposed to the poor among the Israelites. They were supposed to live a prosperous life, a life that, you know, distinguished them from the nations or the heathens that were around them. You see, when Jesus came upon the scene, you see that the whole land was littered with lepers. Different problems, sicknesses, diseases, you know. Even right from the days of Elijah, even well before the coming of Jesus, Israel was already a land virtually like all the other lands around them, with all the problems of humanity attached to it. So in reality, the Israelites never fulfilled the law. They had the laws, but they never could reap the benefits of it because they could not truly walk in those laws. Those laws, like Paul writes, are spiritual laws. The laws of God are spiritual laws, and they can only be fulfilled by those who are spiritual. The laws are fulfilled only by those who are born of the Spirit. It's only those who have the nature of God that can truly fulfill the law. Jesus Christ came on the scene to cause us to fulfill the law. Amen. Without that illumination that comes from the light of the world, there is no way a man can enter into favor, into total prosperity. You see, no matter how much you gather upon this earth, no matter what you think or you measure as success in this world, if you do not have the fullness or the revelation of what Christ came to do upon the earth, you are still lacking somewhere. Hallelujah. At one of those meetings, when Jesus was moving around during his ministry, the Bible records in Matthew chapter 19, verse 14, that, you know, children, you know, ran up to Jesus, you know, asking that he should put his hand on them and pray. You see, and of course the disciples were irritated and tried to, you know, drive them away. Of course, Jesus Christ resisted them and told them clearly, "Don't you realize that the kingdom of God is for such?" You see it? kingdom of God is for little children. Children that have innocence still embedded in them. How many of us realize that any child born into this world is truly immaculate, has this innocence on the inside of him? And that is the only state in which a man can enter into the kingdom of God. We are going to see very soon what Jesus intended to communicate when he said children. You see it? Shortly after Jesus made these statements, you see it, a young man came up to Jesus. And let us read the conversation this young man had with Jesus. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. If you will enter into life, keep the commandments. Verse 18, and he said unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things I have kept from my youth. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that which thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto him, With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are what? Are possible. Hallelujah. Now let's stop here before we go further. God is giving us keys now on how we can enter. When we talk of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, we're talking of entering into the presence of God. We're entering into the fusion of a union or a consciousness in one with the Father. You see, when that veil of separation or that veil of duality is totally abolished. See, when you come into this realm, it's a realm of perfect peace, perfect serenity, is a realm of all power. It's a realm of all joy. It's a realm where you come to the place that you know that you know that you are that you are. You see it, and you sit and you rule over the creation of God. No more do you see yourself as an entity separate from God. The kingdom of God is actually a spiritual awareness that we enter into. It's a spiritual environment that we are exalted into when we are pleasing the Lord. Hallelujah. And you can see it here. Jesus Christ made it clear that to enter into the kingdom of God, we must have fulfilled the laws. We must fulfill the laws of the Lord. You see it? Remember the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. We must have fulfilled those laws before we can enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. But somebody might argue that, but we are under grace, we are under a dispensation of grace. Why do you mention the law? See it? Brother, let us understand that the law is righteous. You see it? The law is righteous. But Christ is only here to cause us to fulfill it in another way. We fulfill the laws not by looking at the letters, not by observing the letters. We fulfill the law by entering in through grace, by entering in through the love of Christ. Amen. So let us never think for once in our mind that the law is abolished. The law, like Paul also said, is righteous. You see, and we must fulfill it. But we fulfill it in another way in which the Lord is teaching us now. Hallelujah. We fulfill the law in a way that the world does not know. God is giving us keys, secrets on how we can, you know, pass through that open gate. Hallelujah. That open gate, Jesus Christ says, it's easier for a camel to enter in than for a man to enter in. Hallelujah. And we know clearly that a camel cannot pass through the eye of a needle. A camel with all his humps, you know it? We talked about the load it carries. It cannot pass through the eye of a needle, which means that a man can in no manner enter into the kingdom of God. What type of a man? A rich man. Let us make no mistake into thinking that the rich man is a man who has a couple of $1,000,000 in his account. Let us not think that a rich man is somebody who has landed properties in this material world. No. A rich man is simply one who is rich in self-knowledge in relation to this physical, material world. Amen? That is what a rich man is. A rich man is him that is rich in self-knowledge in relation to this particular world. You see it? Every man that has a material sense of life, or any man that walks the carnal Adamic walk, is actually a rich man. Amen. Spiritually speaking, he is rich in self-knowledge. You see it? This is the kind of riches that we all gathered unto ourselves, the self-knowledge we gathered ourselves in Adam, when we descended from our spiritual identity in the beginning. You see, when Adam was enticed by the serpent, that enticement is simply an enticement from the exterior personality, which is the man of the flesh. You see it? That leaves aside his true spiritual state to be identified with this material world. Hallelujah. Adam was generated immaculate, perfect. You see, Adam had no self-knowledge. Adam was caught up in God. You see, he lived in a consciousness that was united in one with God the Father. Hallelujah, united and inseparable with God the Father. You see, but he was enticed and, you know, tempted. And what happened? He descended. He left his estate, his union with the Father, to be united with this material world. Hallelujah. Amen. He descended to come and, after being enticed by the wisdom of this world, which seeks, you know, to create a name for himself, which seeks to exalt himself and to gain the glories of this material world. You see it? So Adam now change his state from a spiritual being, a heavenly being, you see, to a carnal, earthly being of the earth. You see, he partook of that wisdom, thinking that he was wise, trying to gain this world. You see, and I tell you, that is self-knowledge, knowledge of the self. Hallelujah. That's why in a letter to the church of Laodicea, Jesus Christ expressly says by the Spirit that you think that you are rich. You see, you think that you've gathered riches, but you do not know that you are poor and miserable and blind. You see, every self-knowledge, every identity apart from that original identity that is one with the Father, is a false identity. Hallelujah. Even when the good man tried to call Jesus good, what did Jesus tell him? Don't call me good. There is only one that is good, which is God the Father. Hallelujah. You see it? On our own, we are nothing. On our own, we can do nothing. It is only when we are united in one, in our consciousness with the Father, that we can ever claim to be something. And it's this the only state with which we can enter into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So self-knowledge is riches. Amen. Hallelujah. When Adam was generated, he was very much like that baby. You see, the Bible says he was naked. He did not know he was naked. You see, when a baby is born naked, let's look on the natural. When you see a baby born, a baby that is, you know, birthed in this world, the baby has no shame. He never feels naked. He's always happy. You see it? But somewhere along the line, he's corrupted. He's influenced You see, by the teachings of his parents and by the teachings and the influences of this material world, of this world that works in, you know, external darkness. And what happened? The child now becomes material conscious. The child now becomes self-conscious. You see it? And now grows and he loses that innocence that he once had. You see it? He grows in self-knowledge. He becomes selfish. Amen? And suddenly loses his passport into God's kingdom. So this is exactly the experience that all of us have had one way or the other. We have been born into this world of appearances. You see it? And we have learned according to the wisdom of this world. You see, and we have sold to our flesh, we have sold to our self-knowledge. We try to improve ourselves, we try to, you know, exalt ourselves, and we've tried to preserve the outer body, neglecting, or rather, not being aware of the thing that matters most, which is that our true union with the Father from the beginning of this world. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you listening? See, anybody that wants to enter into the kingdom of God has to humble himself like a baby. See, you have to loosen yourself of all those things that you've added to yourself from whence you entered into this world. You have to loosen yourself of self-knowledge. Hallelujah. Amen. You have to loosen yourself of material knowledge and come back into the light. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus Christ says the rich man has to sell all that he has before he can enter the kingdom of God. Now, this rich man initially told Jesus that, you see, he had obeyed all the laws. You see, he had obeyed all the laws and he was asking Jesus, what should I do now to enter the kingdom of God? Oh, hallelujah. Brethren, if you have obeyed all the laws, if you have fulfilled all the laws, automatically you find yourself walking in the presence of the Father. Jesus knew very well that it was impossible for that man to have fulfilled the laws without having tasted or having known the mystery of life. Hallelujah. Jesus knew clearly that this man was probably talking of a physical fulfillment of the laws. You see it? But the inward part remains very much the same darkened personality. Hallelujah. You don't have to steal physically to be called a thief. You don't have to kill physically to be called a murderer. Hallelujah. You don't have to commit adultery physically to become an adulterer. Hallelujah. Your thoughts already do the talking. Your thoughts already go into action. Amen? So Jesus knew very well that there is no way the man could have fulfilled the law. If he had fulfilled the law, he wouldn't have been asking Jesus, what should he do again? You see, already he had doubt in his mind. Already he doubted. Already he knew that something was missing. You see it? So you could see that this was not a perfect man. So Jesus Christ says, if you want to be perfect, hallelujah. If you want to taste of perfection, hallelujah, because it's only in the state of perfection that you can enter in through the gates into eternal life. It's only in the state of perfection that you can see the Father. It's only in the state of perfection that you can truly inherit the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ says you have to sell all your possessions. You see, You have to sell or let go of all those things that you have acquired and built onto your name all these years. You see it? Hallelujah. You have to strip yourself of all those riches that you've gathered on the earth, because as long as you have those things here, you have the evil eye. You see it? Your eye is what is evil. Hallelujah. Brethren, there is no shortcut. There is no way around into the place of life. Everyone who must taste of life must let go. Hallelujah. You must let go of these things that you've held to in this material world. Hallelujah. You must let go and walk in pure light. Let your inheritance and your treasure be in God's kingdom, which is a kingdom of light. Hallelujah. You can't handle it with your physical hands, but it is there eternally. Hallelujah. Let your treasures be in heaven. And it's only when your treasure is in heaven that your eye is single and your body is full of light. Hallelujah. It's only when you walk in the heavens and you lose your life in this world of appearances that you can ever begin to walk in that perfection that we desire. You see it? And when the man heard this, the Bible says what? He turned back and left. He was sad. You see it? Hallelujah. You see the deceitfulness of riches? What shall it profit a man if he gains this whole world and loses his soul? You see it? You descend from your estate. You descend from your state of perfection in the light. And you are enticed. And you think that you can gain this world that passes away, this corruptible world, only to lose your soul, only to lose the power, only to lose the joy, hallelujah, only to lose your inheritance in the paradise of God for the torments of hell, hallelujah, only to be cast into outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where you see the nations of the world, you know, howling in today. Oh, hallelujah. You just pray, Father, give me intelligence. Father, give me wisdom in my innermost parts. Hallelujah. Let me not be carried away by the deceitfulness of this material world. Hallelujah. Let my eyes be stayed on your invisible eternal kingdom. Hallelujah. Let my eyes be stayed on the place of light. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. So there's no way a man who holds on to this life, or holds on to his self-identity, hallelujah, or hold on to anything that pertains to this material world that can ever find that door to God's kingdom. You have to let go. You have to let go of the false life and hold on to him that is true. Hold on to the eye on the inside that is true. The eye that is known of the Father. Amen. As long as we continue walking in relation to a temporary world order, you cannot enter into God's kingdom. Hallelujah. So we just have to live all. Amen. Live all. Hallelujah. Live all. Amen. Grow into that place. Hallelujah. Grow. Follow Christ. And shed yourself of that, you know, external man. Shed the external man and let the inner man comfort. Hallelujah. The man of light. Hallelujah. So that we can once more experience the glory and the power of God. Amen. Somebody says, but brother, if I leave everything, how will I survive? You see, in the first place, what people don't realize is that the struggles for survival, you see, that sense of, you know, making ends meet and all these things that men occupy themselves with came about only when man lost his place in God's kingdom. You see, don't you understand that if you walk in the fullness of God's power, if you walk in union with the omnipotent and in the omnipresent God, hallelujah, if you walk in the totality of oneness with the Father, don't you realize that all things are possible? Hallelujah. Amen. That's why the Bible says that it is the nations. Are you listening? It is the nations of the world, the nations of the earth that occupy themselves with those lowly things. They occupy themselves with what they will eat, what they will wear, what they will be clothed with, where will they live? Hallelujah. This is what the nations of the earth occupy themselves with. Why? Because they are in this world alone without God. Don't you understand it? But when you walk in the light, when you walk in union with the Father, hallelujah, all things are possible. Amen. You are no more reduced to that state where you begin to go around, you know, seeking for bread, because your Father in heaven has it in abundance. Amen. Hallelujah. So before we can ever enter into the eye of the needle, we must loosen ourselves. Amen. Arise from the dust. We must awake from that material consciousness and come into the light. Hallelujah. That is the only true world that is. Just look around you. Look at your family members. Look at everything that you've labored to maintain and, you know, to beautify and to immortalize. Look around you. All these things will only pass away in a moment of time. They just pass away in a twinkle of an eye. You see, but there's something that always remains. That is the kingdom of the Father. And that is the Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Heaven and earth is passing away. But those who abide in the will of God, those who keep themselves in the knowledge of God, continue on forever. Hallelujah. So if we are to enter into the kingdom of God, we must strip ourselves like little babies. We must lose our lives. Amen. We must let go of that human identity that we are born. Amen. We must take a hold of that spiritual, immaculate identity that we've had with the Father from the beginning. Hallelujah. We must ascend. Hallelujah. Awake back into that consciousness. Hallelujah. Let it go. Let that, you know, imagination of being a male or female, let it go down the drain. That imagination of being this or that, or achieving this or that in this world, let it go down the drain. Hallelujah. It's all vanity. It is formlessness. It is void. It is darkness. Just take a hold on the thing that counts. Hallelujah. Which is the knowledge of God and the kingdom. Amen. You see it? Of course, when people hear this kind of message, a lot of people withdraw. People will draw back. Many people come to the churches to actually hear a gospel that will teach them how to gain the world, isn't it? Hallelujah. People have now turned the theme of the gospel around, saying that, you know, gain of this world is godliness. Instead of godliness being great, is now gain of this world being great, you know, great gain. Hallelujah. Amen. So most people turn around, the multitudes turn around when they hear this kind of message. The rich man did what? He turned around. Hallelujah. But there is a few, a hard few. Amen. There is a hand few who can hear this message and discern the voice of the shepherd. They can discern the voice of their master calling them. And these are the ones that obey. Let us listen to what Peter said. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19 from verse 25. When his disciples heard this, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are what? Are possible." Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" And Jesus said unto them, "Very, very, I say unto you, that which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, he shall sit down upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that has forsaken house, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, lands, for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit eternal life." Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, there is a company of people who are the disciples. Hallelujah. These are those who have heard this message, who can discern this message. And they forsake all. Amen. They forsake their self-knowledge. Hallelujah. Amen. They forsake their family knowledge. You see it? Their communal knowledge. And everything that pertains to their humanity. This one strewn in the bin. Just to have a part in the glory of God. Hallelujah. These are the ones that will sit upon the throne of God as he appears in glory. These are the ones that manifest the glory of God. These are the sons of God that will manifest with great power and glory. Hallelujah. In the heavens. Amen. These are the ones that are seated, that appear as the Son of Man in the clouds of heaven. Amen. Because they have obeyed the Lord. They have heard the message. They have understood. Hallelujah. And the Lord assures them that they will gain what? Hundredfold. Amen. In this present age. You see, when you come into this realm, you just discover that everything that is yours is not yours but Christ. Hallelujah. It's a realm that you walk in, that you are united with many, many, many brethren of like minds across the globe. Hallelujah. And this is where God the Father is calling us to, where we can reign. Hallelujah. We can reign in life. We can reign in unity and in love. Amen. Hallelujah. They forsake lands. You're talking about your personal land, yeah, your body, your self-knowledge, everything. Let it go. Hallelujah. And join yourself back. Amen. To that one body that is from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus Christ says in verse 30 of Matthew chapter 19, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." What is Jesus Christ trying to say here? See it? Many that are last shall be first, or rather, many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be the first. What is God trying to say here? See it? He said, those that have followed God, Those that followed him in regeneration. The regeneration talks about the transformation or the washing or the redemption. Hallelujah. This is the work of, you know, purification, the work of, you know, transformation that the Lord performs in our minds. Amen. That transformation works in a way that it causes us, you know, to let go of that, you know, self-knowledge or that knowledge after the flesh that we have obtained in this world. See it? When you are regenerated, you come to the place where it's no longer you but Christ. You come to the place where you realize that you are the son that was from the beginning. You see it? You come to the place where you realize that you are with the Father before this world was, from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. The regeneration strips away the veil of the flesh. It strips away the personal sense of self, the self-identity that we have born in our humanity. Hallelujah. Amen. Those that have followed Christ in the regeneration shall inherit eternal life. You see, another account says that they shall also inherit persecution. You inherit persecution from those who do not understand where you're coming from and where you're going. See, some of this persecution can come from family members, from friends, from your religious church members who refuse to go on to know the Lord the way you are moving on to know the Lord. See it? But the Lord promises us that He will keep us in perfect peace so that all their backing and all the things that they do against you can never truly affect you. Amen. So what happens is that the regeneration of God, the regeneration work that Christ is doing, which will now eventually cause us to pass through the eye of the needle, is the regeneration work that strips us of that identity after the natural man. It's the identity that we have born in our ignorance. Amen. Hallelujah. And when that identity is stripped, that treasure on the inside, which Paul calls the Christ within the hope of glory, emerges forth. It comes forth. Amen. And when it comes forth, see, that is the man that is pure spirit. Hallelujah. He's a total spiritual being. Hallelujah. He doesn't have any material consciousness or a part in this material world. You see, that's why Jesus Christ says, "This world is not my own." He said, "I am not of this world. I am from above, you are from beneath. You are this material earthy world. I am from the heavenly spiritual realm." Hallelujah. I'm from the heaven. I am spirit. Amen. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You must be born again of water and spirit before you can enter the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. In reality, that seed is already on the inside. In reality, that personality is on the inside. Hallelujah. All we need to do is to strip ourselves of the personality after the flesh that we have born in our ignorance. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says that the first shall be the last and the last shall be the first. What Jesus Christ is simply saying is that He's restoring us back to the original form. You see it? The way we were before we descended into materialism, before we descended into this vain realm, this realm of vanity. Hallelujah. That is all that Christ is talking about. Hallelujah. The first, the original state. We were in the beginning with the Father. We are restored back to that state. That is the end of the faith. Amen. That is the last. Amen. Becoming the first and the first becoming the last. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. From our perfection we descended. And there was a gulf, a chasm, a separation, a wide gap, desolation, void, darkness, you know, destruction, death, formlessness, void. Hallelujah. And we now get back to that original state of perfection, of bliss, of glory, of joy, of power. Hallelujah. A place of perfection. Hallelujah. So, brethren, let us stir up ourselves. Amen. To pass through the eye of the needle. Let us comprehend the mystery. Hallelujah. Let us comprehend our true form. Hallelujah. Let us comprehend our true nature. The way we are, our true substance. From the foundation of the world, which is a light substance. We are light beings. Amen. Beings meant to walk in the light, or we can call it in the spirit. We are spiritual beings. See, it's only in that spiritual state that we can pass through the eye of the needle. Hallelujah. It's only in that spiritual state that we can do exploits. Hallelujah. That we can enter back and enjoy the benefits of the glory of God. Hallelujah. It's the ones that we can drink of the streams of living water and walk in the perfection that was this, the perfection and the dominion that was designed from us, for us, from the foundation of the world. It is then we can become aware of the riches and the glory freely given to us at our disposal. Hallelujah. For our enjoyment, for our glorification, for our honor. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know this truth? Hallelujah. So let us not resist the call in this hour. God is looking for a people who will ascend out of the dust, who will ascend out of that, you know, material sense of living they've lived in Adam, and come back into the glory of the Father, come back into the glory of God, come back into the exceeding kindness, hallelujah, that the Father has reserved for us from the foundation of the world. Amen.